World football from Ivory Coast.
Hello from me, John Bennett. That is the sound of Ivory Coast fans after the final whistle of their quarter-final, celebrating here in Abidjan at one of the many restaurants, cafes and bars where people gathered to watch their remarkable late win over Mali with, in the end, nine men. They are becoming expert escape artists at this AFCON. Just when you think they're down and out, they somehow manage to pull through, and it is party time in this city and across the country. Much more on that to come. Plus, South Africa through to the semi-finals for the first time since the year 2000 after a dramatic penalty shootout win over Cape Verde. So I'm delighted to say that former South Africa captain Dean Furman is with us. Great to have you back on the show, Dean, particularly after that win. We'll get to the win in detail in just a moment, but just quickly, your good friend Ronwen Williams was the hero. Four saves in the penalty shootout. I bet you can't wait to give him a call to get the full story on this.
Oh, John, I've seen it so many times before. He is absolutely phenomenal at saving penalties. So when it went to penalties, I had us down for going through all the way. I didn't have him down for saving four, but he is a penalty specialist. He's incredible. And playing with him and going to many penalty shootouts with him as the taker, you just know you got to do your job, because Roman will save one or two without a doubt. And I mean, four, it's incredible, absolutely incredible. And let's not forget his save in the 90th minute, which was just as important. That save kept Bafana in, and hero, absolute hero.
Sensational. He was like Superman in that penalty shootout. A lot more on South Africa's win to come. Did I mention, by the way, they were my dark horse pick pre-tournament? I think I did many, many times. But let's get to Ivory Coast. 2-1 win over Mali, despite playing most of the game with 10 men. Oumar Diakite's 122nd minute winner sent the hosts through. Didn't look good for them when the Ivorian defender Odilon Kasunu was sent off just before half time for two bookings. Second half, Nene de Gaulles looked to have won it for Mali with a brilliant long range effort, but the elephants equalized right on 90 minutes through super sub Simon Adingra. A really good finish with virtually one of the last kicks of the 90 minutes. So that was a fantastic equalizer. And then Diakite diverted home Seko Fofana's shot right at the end of extra time. And he was actually shown a second yellow card after his celebration. So he was sent off too, and he will miss the semi-final. And there were some unsavory scenes afterwards. Several Mali players surrounding the referee. Hamari Traore was also shown a red card, the Mali player. So much drama. The game took place in Bouake, and world footballer AFCON's George Addo was there.
The drama at the end of the game. Look, along the commentary box, no commentator sat down for the last 5 minutes. And it's as if we all felt that the final free kick was going to be a goal, because we all stood up. And with one blast, commentators were up in the air. The players were flying into the fans. It was pandemonium, I'm telling you. It was fantastic. Such a great atmosphere. I'm not sure we're going to see anything like this again. We're not going to see anything like this again. The host nation has been riding on this fairy tale, and it doesn't look like it's going to end. So, John, just out here, and you can hear them in the background. They are going to be doing this till maybe 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. in the morning. I remember what happened when we went out there in Yamoussoukro when they won the game against Senegal. I bet tonight is going to be crazy, and we are just all here going to see how it happens. But it's been a fantastic game. I've enjoyed myself in the commentary box and really looking forward to seeing you guys.
Yeah, back here in Abidjan, the celebration's still going. The sound of music, fireworks, car horns across the city. People rushed out onto the streets after the win over Mali. I've been analysing the game with the football journalist Patrick Julliard, who's been covering the Cup of Nations since the 90s for French radio and TV. So how do this Ivory Coast team keep defying the odds?
Yeah, this game entirely was strange. There were many changes of momentum. Sometimes you thought Mali was going to win and nothing could happen to them. Then it was Ivory Coast. And in the end, there was this final strike, and it's incredible. Only football can bring that, and only knockout games can bring that to the crowd. And well, we hear it around us. People shouting everywhere. So we'll see what happens. But it's one victory that can make one team stronger and make them believe they can make it in the end.
Yeah, it's written in the stars, isn't it, now? Because in the group stage, they were so close to going out after two defeats in a row. And they got a second chance and they took it. And in this game, Mali scored first and it was an equaliser right at the end. They looked out of it again, they save it. It's almost as if they're destined to win this AFCON.
Yeah, it's like a miracle, you know, the energy of miraculous man that survived a crash or something, and he wants to live, he wants to enjoy every inch of life he still has. So that's amazing, really. And Seko Fofana is the symbol of that, the player who never stops fighting, you know. He gives the tempo, the only one player in midfield that plays every single game. So that's a symbol. And he was criticized because he sometimes didn't want to come to the national team, and it was like a la carte for him. He could choose his games, but in the end he's a game changer, so maybe a good choice.
Why do you think Mali weren't able to take advantage of their superiority, the fact they had 11 and Ivory Coast had 10?
Yeah, it's strange. I think they had the opportunities to take a bigger advantage and they lost them, and too bad. Maybe lack of experience, and maybe, as you remember, during the previous AFCONs, Mali did not do well in knockout games, and maybe some memories came back and start to make players leave their concentration and lose focus. I thought that, and that was not enough what they did. Dorgeles was great, but maybe was the only one. He tried to do this marvelous strike that gave Mali a goal, but he tried to do the same. Maybe sometimes he should have given the ball, maybe.
And how much credit has to go to MS Fai, the caretaker manager of Ivory Coast, because he's made some changes to the starting team, but also I really like his substitutions. The fact that, yeah, obviously, Sebastien Haller coming on, he's not been fully fit. He will always make a difference. But again, he brought on Adingra, who came on and scored the equaliser. His in-game changes and the way he's changing things during matches is really impressive. And this guy's a caretaker manager who Ivory Coast didn't want to be the caretaker manager. They talked about bringing Hervé Renard in ahead of him, but he's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. And also he's helped by the fact that they lost this terrible game against Equatorial Guinea, 4-0. Now there are no statues in the dressing room. Everyone is equal, so that gives Fai the opportunity to make the choices he wants and to have his choices respected. And also he's very inspired because Adingra, you were talking about, is good both on attack, we saw his goal, and also on defense, because he has a lot of stamina, lots of energy, and he really can block the wing. So it was really helpful for his team in both fields, I mean, defense and attack.
What's it going to be like now in Abidjan over the next few days? The excitement levels are going to be so huge, aren't they, for the locals here? You've been here for the entire tournament. I mean, just describe what it's going to be like in Abidjan and across the country.
Well, it's look more than ever like a road to the final this AFCON, because they were forced to leave Abidjan because they finished third of their group. And I think it probably was a luck for them, because they could regenerate instead of always staying at the same place. And now they'll be back.
Yeah, so they're going to be back here, aren't they?
So I think it's a good timing. The fact that they left and now they're back, I think it's really the right timing. Had they stayed all the time in Abidjan, maybe it would have been more difficult to deal with, you know.
Can they cope with the pressure? Because it's an interesting thing with this Ivory Coast team. When they're not expected to win, they tend to do better. When they're expected to win, it seems to get to them, the pressure. The fact that a player was sent off during the match almost took the pressure off again, and they seem to thrive in that situation. But everyone will be expecting them to win the semi-final now.
Yeah, but as Emers Faye said yesterday at the press conference, he said, "I'm not a magician. I'm just a coach who knows his player and tries to do the best with them." I think he'll have to keep on this this line. And you're right to say that they're better when they're unexpected, and the best example is that they're always great in friendlies and sometimes not that great in knockout games, and they were not great today, but there was this like of, as you said, returning the stars, like this kind of feeling that they had to believe it, to believe in it till the last second, and they did, and they won. So it will give them strength, but they'll have to find other, to keep working, to find other solutions, more tactical and technical than just counting on the maybe the force of the crowd and the energy around the team.
That is Patrick Julliard, so Ivory Coast now taking on DR Congo in the semi-finals. Dean Furman, former South Africa captain, is still with me. Okay, Dean, let's get to your nation, South Africa, into the semi-finals of the Cup of Nations for the first time in 24 years. 0-0 against Cape Verde. It went to penalties. Both keepers actually in great form. But Ronwen Williams made four saves in the shootout. Dean, what's this going to mean for South Africa going through to the semis after so long? They haven't been there for so long.
It's just huge, John, honestly. I mean, we've come relatively close before, losing to Nigeria in 2019 in the quarterfinals, was a last-minute goal. We lost in 2013 on penalties in the quarterfinals, but finally we've got over that hurdle, and what a way to do it. Absolutely phenomenal scenes, and Ronwen Williams is the toast of South Africa right now.
Did you always think he could be the hero? As you say, you know him well, and you hinted at the top of the show that he kind of comes into his own during these shootouts.
I've been telling everyone today that if it goes to penalties, Ronwen Williams is the specialist, and I was a little bit worried that I was going to jinx myself, but Even the penalty in against Morocco, he dives the right way. Either his research or he finds a read and someone's run up. He tends to dive the right way, which makes the player taking the kick go for a little bit more, like we saw with Hakimi, who blazed it over the bar. But I mean, he went the right way every time tonight. One went past him, but I mean, to save four penalties is just phenomenal, and that is his speciality. He's just incredible, I'm just so pleased for him. He's an incredible guy, the skipper, and that is what you call leading by example.
Nigeria next then in the semi-finals. What do you think? They did look a bit tired, didn't they? Particularly, you know, you're going to be tired after two huge games, beating Morocco and now beating Cape Verde on penalties, grueling extra time as well.
Yeah, I did feel Bafana looked tired tonight. They've started pretty much the same team from the group stages into the knockout stages as well. And there were some heavy legs out there. There's no doubt about it. They've also got one less day to recover than Nigeria. I know from speaking to you about the humidity, speaking to some of the players about the humidity, that really takes its toll at this stage of the tournament. But you've got to find something extra. You've got to find the extra gear. Don't know where you find it from, but you're in the semi-finals of an African Cup of Nations, no better chance to go and win it. And you've got to find that energy from somewhere, because Nigeria, they've looked solid, if not spectacular, but they have experience. They've been here before. They know what it takes. And they've just quietly got about their business and made sure that they've done enough to get to the next round. So it's going to be a really interesting matchup. It's a game that it's a good one for Bafana, because we can go in as underdogs. Everyone's expecting Nigeria to advance, and Bafana can go out there and enjoy the occasion and play with freedom.
Dean, thank you so much for joining us after that wonderful victory on penalties for your nation, South Africa. They are through to the semi-finals of the Africa Cup of Nations. I bet Dean can't wait to get on the phone with his friend Ronwen Williams as well to congratulate him. So there we have it. The lineup for the semi-finals is complete. DR Congo against Ivory Coast, Nigeria against South Africa. What an Africa Cup of Nations it's been.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.